So last week we did Shirat David, which is Tanya Fat, it's Shmuel Bet, Perek Chaf Bet. And we've got one, actually, I'm looking at one more Perek of Tehillim, and we're done. Perek of Tehillim that was attributed to David. And we've got a bunch more that are attributed to others. Since we're going to go through a sefer, I want to look at some of those now before we kind of pull back and sum everything up. I have to write some kind of dramatic conclusion. But the Gemara Bava Batra says about this: David Katav Sefer Tehillim my day as Sarazikainim. The David, the author of Tehillim, but there are 10 others there. Ayde Adam Arishon, Ayde Malki Tzedek, that first king of Yerushalayim, Ayde Abraham, Ayde Moshe, Ayde Haman, who is one of the Levim, Ayde Yonatan, Ayde Asaf. Those are the three Levim who basically led the Shira in the Mishkan in the time of David, by day Shlosha b'nei Korach, and three of the descendants of Korach. Those ones have explicit attributions. We'll look at some of those. And there are 11 Prakim that are specifically attributed to Moshe. Moshe Rabbeinu wrote 11 Prakim, and Rashi says on this, Ade Moshe, first one's obvious, Tefillah Moshe. Tilam Tzadi,
That's what we say every Shabbat.
on Shabbos, right? Tefillah Moshe, Ish Elokim, Hashem, Ma'ona, Yitalana, B'Dor, B'Dor. That explicitly says of Moshe. Okay, tribute to Moshe. And Achadasar Mizmarim, and says, well, there are 11 total, going from 90 to 100. And we'll have to look at some of those. And
So
that comes,
those are all attributed to Moshe.
right. Okay. And we'll look at those. And there's the Medrash says about that. Rav Levi Shimon Hananya, Achadasar Mizmarim, Shamar Moshe. Moshe wrote 11 of the Tehillim that were eventually incorporated into Sefer Tehillim. B'tachsis shel Nevuah Amran, he said that as a in the style of a Nevuah. B'lama lo nichtavu b'Torah, and why, if they're written by Moshe, why don't you incorporate into the Torah? We have Hazina, we have other things that Moshe wrote. El Dibre Torah, El Dibre Nevuah, because there's a difference. Torah is dictated by Hashem, said, you're going to incorporate this. This is the word of God here. And here these are, and I wouldn't take Dibre Nevuah literally, right? This is in Ketuvim. It's not the level of Nevuah, but it's the level of Ruach Kodesh. Moshe is composing these poems not with his Aspaklaria Meira, that is, as Hashem directly basically dictates to him, but at sort of a lower level. He wrote these, he's still great. And these are the 11. We have Tefillah Moshe Zolkim, Yoshev B'Seder Elyon. We say that right afterwards on Friday morning. We say Mershil Yom HaShabbat, Shir Shalom HaShabbos.
He gets a Shira
Right? And Hashem Melach Geut Lavesh is the Shir Shalom Yom for Friday.
Shabbat.
Kehillah Mikmot Hashem is the Shir Shalom Yom for Wednesday. So he gets a lot of the Shir Shal Yoms were already attributed to him. L'chunaranana is Kabbalat Shabbat. And then all the Tehillim of Kabbalat Shabbat. Shir Hashem Shir Chadash. That's the next one in Kabbalat Shabbat. That's when everyone sings the Kalbach. Right, the Hashem Malach Tegel Aretz. That's the next one in Kabbalat Shabbat. Then Mizmor Shir Hashem Shir Chadash. Another Kabbalat Shabbat. Hashem Malach Magirzu. The next one in Kabbalat Shabbat. And then there's Tehillim, was it 27, which is not part of this list. And then the last one on the list is Mizmor Latoda, which we say on weekday mornings, part of Seudah Zimra. So they've all been incorporated into the Siddur. And we spoke a little about these, or some of these, in the Shir that are called Al Nuli Lid, which was about sort of the old new Tehillim. And that was the story of David bringing the Aron to Yerushalayim. It's been in Tellstone and Kiryat Yearim for 20 years, and he brings it in an ox-drawn wagon. You know that, and that was wrong. And Uzziah tries to redirect it, and he gets zapped, and that's a tragedy. And then he has to bring it back, just being carried by the Kohanim. But with the original story, he's bringing it to Yerushalayim. Is bringing it on an ox-drawn wagon, basically because he wants to complete the journey it started when it was returned from the Plishtim. Plishtim had destroyed the Mishkan. They took the Aron in captivity, and then Hashem struck them with hemorrhoids. And they said, "We don't need this anymore," and put them on, put it on a wagon, and said, "You go back to you're going to go back to the Jews." And that's that original story. They're bringing it back. And it says, "Vayishar nahaparot b'derech," and the oxen, or the female, right, the cows went straight on the road. But derech al derech Beit Shemesh, they went straight to Beit Shemesh. Mesila achat on a single road. They went, they were just went straight, and they were moving. They didn't turn left or right. That was part of the miracle. They just went straight.
Because another one, nobody driving the cart, right?
Right. And they intentionally took cows with their calves left behind. They wanted to show that this was a nace, that they were, you know, Hashem is guiding this Aaron on the straight path.
Oh, okay.
And all the leaders of Plishtim were behind them, until they got to Beit Shemesh. It goes to Beit Shemesh, and it doesn't say Beit Shemesh eventually ends up going over to Kiryat Yarim, and there it waits for David. So David basically wants to continue that journey to bring it into Yerushalayim. So this is the miraculous sense in which it goes straight. Hashem is obviously guiding it. But the Gemara is struck by this original word, which is Vayasharna Parot. They went straight. What do you mean Vayasharna? It's a weird word. Right? It looks like they're verbing Yashar.
Yeah.
But really, it shouldn't be Vayasharna. It should be Vayasharna. The long vowel under the yod as part of the shoresh. This is a it's a chirik with a dagesh and the shin, which really means that this looks like the shoresh here is shar.
I know, yeah, it sounds like that too.
Okay, so the Gemara says, you know what it is? It wasn't by Yashar Parot, they went straight. It was that these cows were singing as they went. That's the Gemara. By Yashar Parot, Abderach, by Shemesh, my by Yasharna. What does it mean by Yasharna? I didn't put my source there, did I? I need to find a source. Sorry, we got it. Yes. Yes. Mara. The vote is there right here. Always one of the sources. Okay. Yasharna, they say, Yasharna, what does it mean? They, by Yasharna? They were singing, agadically. So not literally, but they heard the echo of the old Shira. Another, Sheyashu Pneham, can I get Aaron? That they went straight along with the Aaron, Amru Shira, and they sang. They were singing. So what were they singing? Rabbi Shimon Bar Lakish Amar. Mizmor Yatma, they sang what was called the orphan Mizmor. It's a Mizmor that doesn't have an attribution. That's Mizmor Shir Lashem Shir Chadash Tilm Tzadichet, which is one of our lists. Okay, one of the tributes. Rabbi Lazar Amar Tilm Tzadichet. Rabbi Shimon Achmeni Amar Tilm Tzadigimel. Right, that they all tribute these, that the cows were singing these Tilm of Moshe. Breshit Rabba offers different opinions, quotes the same Medrash, but also offers Tzadivav and Tzadizayin. The whole list of these things. And we talked there that I'm taking this serious, not literally. The Gemara is telling us these were the songs of the restoration of the Aron. That's what they sing to restore the Aron to its place. And I assume
that
they were.
That's a miracle that cows were actually singing Tehillim.
Right. And that's why I say that I got it to you take seriously, but not literally.
You take
I don't know if you were anyone. Seriously, but not literally.
Oh, okay.
Okay, I don't know that if you were standing there that you would have heard anything singing. If you understood what was happening, you would have heard the song. Maybe not literally coming out of the mouth of the cows, but these were the songs of the original Mishkan. And things are coming back home. Okay? That these Tehillim, basically on our list here from 94 to 99, Kel the Kamod, or even 90, 93 to 99, were the original Tehillim for the original Mishkan, Right, before David wrote anything, Moshe said, "Here we're gonna be singing Tehillim, and we're gonna sing some kind of Tehillim." So the entire book of Tehillim was 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 Psalms long. These were the original Tehillim, and that's the idea that the cows were singing as they brought the Aron back. They're bringing it back, restoring the Aron to the Mishkan. And Tehillim Kuf, which is the Mizmor LaToda, is a similar thing. It's not of the Mishkan, but it is a Tehillim of a Korban. That's the Korban Toda. The same idea that the idea that these Tehillim that were written by Moshe were basically the original from the original Mishkan before the Beit HaMikdash would be built. So we've looked at those in previous Shiurim and a bunch of those already. Let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4. Then, done. We've done four of those already. We have three more, which are the ones that basically the Melech ones. Hashem Malach, Hashem Malach, Hashem Malach, Yuzramim. Those three we're going to look at in a little bit. And there are four others that are different. And that's where I'm going to go now. Four others. Because we're going to start not with the Tehillim of the Mishkan, but with Tehillim Tzadi and Tzadi Aleph. Tefillah Moshe Ish Elokim.
These are still all attributed to Moshe, though,
They are
right?
about right. Tehillim Tzadi 90 is explicit, right? That's the only one that says Tefillah
All right.
Moshe, about as direct as you can get. And Tehillim Tzadi Aleph 91, I would argue, is really the second part of the same one. It doesn't have a kotel, it doesn't have an introduction, and it really continues the same theme. So we're going to treat those all as one unit.
Okay.
90 and 91 to go together. Right, and especially if you look at the beginning of 91 is Yosheb Sech Elyon, but when we say it in davening, we always start with Vehi Noam, the last pasuk of 90. I always say Vehi Noam Hashem Elokeinu Elohim Maaseinu Kaneinu Maaseinu Kaneinu, and then Yosheb Sech Elyon. So we always tie them together.
Wow.
That's the argument that really they go together, and this is exclusively attributed to Moshe. It says Tfilah LeMoshe Ish Elokim. It's the prayer of Moshe, the man of God. Hashem Ma'on Atah Yidlanu L'Bedor Badar. God, you have been our dwelling, our shelter from every generation. And Moshe here is explicitly called the Ish Elokim, literally the man of God, which is used one other time at the end of Moshe's life in the Torah itself. Says when it says Zot HaBracha SheBarach Moshe Ish Elokim. Right, same expression.
For Simchas Torah, right?
Right. So that's the end of the Torah. Last part of the Torah, he is Ish Elokim at that point. And that's what he's called over here. You have a bracha and a tefillah of Ish Elokim. The Midrash says that this kind of refers to Moshe's not almost superhuman, right? He wasn't really human at that point. He was so close to Hashem. So Amarat Tanchuma, Elokim Lama Ish. Okay, you're gonna call him Ish. Why are you calling what if he's what is an Ish Elokim? Ish Malmakim, how can you put those two together? El Bishashia Hishlechliar, he was Ish. Thrown to river, he was a normal person. Bishashia Nepachodam Elokim. But then when he's one who performed the miracle of turning it to blood, that's Elokim. He's a representative of God. Or otherwise, Bishashia Barak Mitzvah Parah, when he's running away, Ish, Bishashia Shako, when he comes back and confronts him, Elokim. Moshe has both these sides. There are points where he was simply acting as a malach, as a representative of God. Also, B'shash Sha'al Rakia, Ish, and where you can see when he went up into the heavens to accept the Torah atop of Har Sinai, at that point, he was still an Ish. Mahu Ish, what do you mean he's an Ish? That seems like a pretty holy thing. L'fei malachim, Shekul an Ish, he was confronting the malach. Compared to malachim, he was still human. When he comes down, he's a representative of God at the level of Elohim, as it says, by Yiru Migeshet Alav. The rest of Bnei Israel were afraid of him. They would go near him. And that became a problem, obviously, as the Torah goes on, Moshe becomes more and more separate from the people. He's at this incredibly high level. People just can't be there to the point where he won't be. There, another way to look at it, Ma'al Ish Elohim, from Rav Avin. Now, Chetziv Lamata Ish, Ephim was human, Chetziv Lamala Elohim, half above was divine. He was his intermediary. And that's what this tefillah is. It's talking about the tefillah of someone who really is acting as this intermediary between God and human beings.
But
You have
I
to
thought
look
the
at
whole idea was that we're supposed to dominate, without an intermediary.
right. We are not. We're not diving to Moshe. This is Moshe's tefillah himself. He's talking to Hashem. He's going to talk to people as well. But that it represents a special point in Moshe's life when he was acting as that intermediary. You don't daven, you don't pray to Moshe.
Right.
See, even the dog is bothered by it.
But I mean that whole thing with, that's part of the golden calf thing.
Right.
That, on the one hand he's an ish, on the other hand he's a,
Right, that became very dangerous when they realized that, right, they attributed that much power to him that they couldn't live without him. That was a dangerous thing. This wasn't not, this is not an ideal state. It's real, and I think that's a big part of what happened at the Memory Bay. Hits the rock, and just he's told he can't go in. It was that he didn't have that level of being close to the people at that point. That's its own sheer there. But here he does, it is called that. And he talks about Hashem, you were the Ma'on. What's a Ma'on?
A refuge.
A refuge? Yeah, usually just a dwelling, but your refuge is a good place, right? But he's here, Hashem, you are the Ma'on for us. We can dwell with you. And that, again, that's an echo of Moshe's words, or parallel to Moshe's words in Zot HaBracha, where he says, where he describes Hashem as Mona Elokei Kedem, you're the one who dwell, the ancient God dwells on high, Itaka Olam, beneath the arm of the power of the, you are the power behind the world, Hashmir, and you cast the enemy before you and destroy them. Okay, that's the Ma'on. This is from Zot HaBracha. Our parak is Hashem Ma'onayita. Same, this is, it's the other words of Moshe here. So Hashem has this Ma'ona, this dwelling place, which is the Ma'on for us as well. That's our protection, that's our refuge. And that's the hint of what the context of this tefillah is. What is this tefillah about? We know the words, we say it all the time, but I want to look at it in detail. Because this tefillah, we're going to see, is about one of Moshe's great tasks, which was building the place for Hashem, that Ma'on for Hashem on earth. That's the Mishkan. Understand that if you look at the last psukim. So the last psukim of Perek Tzadik is Yireel Avedecha Polecha. Show your servants your work. Talking to God. Vadarcha Abnehem, and show your glory to their descendants. Aleinu. And then now he's talking to us, Bnei Israel. May the God find favor with us, give us, maybe God's favor be upon us. May
What's
God.
Noam is like Naim, like
Naim, right, nice, pleasant. Right, may God. I usually translate as favor, right?
oh,
If
okay.
it does it over here. The beauty. Okay, I'll go with that. The Lord be upon
Tell
us.
me, beauty. I could understand
It's
that.
Naim, right? The niceness of God, the nice parts of God, right? The God's wonderful, may it be upon us when we experience that. May Hashem establish the work of our hands. What we do, may those be good. Okay? It repeats
We're
himself.
asking God's blessing for our what we do, our actions.
Right. He's saying that. That's what Konana should make them Cain, establish them, put them in place. If these are permanent, this will last. May establish the work of our hands. So this is the bracha that Moshe gave Bnei Israel when they cleared the Mishkan. That's the Noam Hashem Elokeinu, and that's the Maaseh Yedeinu that he's talking about. As the Rashi says about this perek, Renehu, Shnei Pamim, Maaseh Yedeinu Koneh, he repeats himself, Maaseh Koneh Aleinu, Maaseh Konehu, Echad Amlechad HaMishkan. The first was the Mishkan that they had just completed, Shebrichon Yisrael, that he blessed Bnei Israel, Mishkan. He prayed that once they finished that, Hashem would accept it and the Shekhinah would stay with Bnei Israel. The second one, Shebrachab, going forward, that from now on, Hashem should bless the work of your work. So we're going to look at that moment. Israel completed the Mishkan. So we're not going to look at the para at the Tilam at all. We're just going to start learning some Chumash. We're going to look at Parshat Shemini.
Parsha?
Part Shemini.
Shemini, okay.
Right, the eighth day. So they you know, so all of the end of Sefer Shemot, they've been given instructions, they've planned the Mishkan, they built the Mishkan. Vayikra and Vayikra and Tzav are the 7 days of Miluim leading up to the inauguration of the Mishkan, and Yom HaShemini, Rosh Chodesh Nisan, is when they actually open it up and they start using it. That's the big day.
Okay.
And on that eighth day of the Miluim, Rosh Nisan, Moshe calls Aaron and Aaron's sons. He's got four sons, who are the Kohanim, the Knei Yisrael, the elders. Aaron, he says, Aaron, kachlecha bakar. I want you to take an eagle, lachat tamimim, and a ram for an olah, v'krevel Hashem, and you can offer them to God. And then it goes on and on with lots of descriptions. This is Parshat Bet, Yad Pasuk Gimel. And then, Vayavo Moshe Aharon Ol Moed, the Moshe and Aaron go into the Ol Moed, into the Mishkan that's just been opened, Vayetzu, and they go out. Vayavarchu to Am, and they bless the people. Vayirak Kavod Hashem Kol Am, and the glory of God appears to everyone at that point. And Rashi points out, what's this Vayavarchu to Am? That's our Pasuk. Yinom Hashem Elokeinu Aleinu, Maaseinu Kon Aleinu, Maaseinu Kon Aleinu. Right, that's right. It says Amru v'hinom Hashem Elokeinu. That was the bracha that they said. Right, you've just looked at the Mishkan. May God approve of it. Yiratzon shetishra shechina b'maseh. May God's shechina rest in what you've just made. The fik shekol shivat yemei milwim, because all 7 days of the inauguration, shemida Moshe Mishkan, Moshe would assemble the Mishkan, v'shimesh bo, and he would do all the offerings in it, uparku, and would take it down b'chol yom, every day. There was no sign of the Shekhinah, no sense of God's presence there. They were just going through Moshe for 7 days. But Yisrael nechlamim, from the Moshe, Bnei Yisrael are all humiliated, they're embarrassed, and they tell Moshe, Moshe Rabbeinu, we worked so hard to tishre Shekhinah beinenu that the Shekhinah should dwell among us. Meidash ni kaper lanu avon ha'ego. That's what we want. So Shekhinah was there at Mamar HaSinai. And then we blew it with the Egel. And then we have, you know, God says he's not going to be among us anymore. And this was supposed to be the moment where he comes back. And nothing there. That's why the passage says that you should do these things. But you're up, and God's glory will appear to you. Shekhinah will return. I was assembling it for this previous week. That didn't work. But Aaron, my brother, he's the right one. He's more important than I am. Shall yede karbonotav, because when he brings the karbonot, he does the avoda, tishrei shechina b'chem, the shechina will return, will dwell among you, tedu shemakom b'char bo, and you'll know that Hashem put Aaron, that the sin of the egel was forgiven.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, that's the background for this story. So he says, v'yera'ela v'decha palecha. In the pasuk, may you show your works to your people. And Masayidin Konehu, that's Moshe's tefillah first to Hashem and the bracha to the people to the Mishkan and the ceremony of the Mishkan. That's the end of the parak. Pasuk Tet Zayin. What about for the rest of it? What's the you write? It all starts with this tefillah Moshe. Right, you're on my own. You are a dwelling place. Okay, and then it goes back to Harim Yoladu, you created the world, and Elef Shanim Beinecha, you time is infinite, but we, Yimei Shnatenu Shivim Shana, right, we're going to die, get 70, maybe 80 years, and that's it. What does that mean? Before we get to this bracha, that's what I look at. For that, now this is mostly my reading of it, I don't know if it's right, but I don't know if anyone else said this. We're going to go back to the ceremony itself. All those psukim we skipped in the middle describing what exactly they did. Torah goes in great detail to describe them.
So, are you talking about the 7 days before the
No,
dedication?
this is Yom HaShemini. This is on Yom HaShemini.
Oh, this is all
Moshe
up.
says to Aaron, here, this is the list of things you're going to do.
Okay.
And that goes and says, you're going to, all the things that he actually did. Here, Vayomer Moshe al Aaron, krav ha-mizbeach. Moshe tells Aaron, come close to the mizbeach. Vaseir chatat chav elatacha. You have to do the chatat. It's a chatat, which is an egel for the egel hazahah, betel atacha, and you can do the and you give your ola, v'chiper bar chavad am, and you'll express this kapara for the people, for you. Vaseir korban am, and you'll do the korban sibor, v'chiper badam, and atone for them, kachetzi b'ashem. So, I crave Aaron Mizbeach. So Aaron comes to the altar, by Shchat the Egel Chatat Shalom, he slaughters the Egel, like Reuben Aaron Adam, and his sons acting as the sub-Kohanim bring the blood, like Bo Esbo Adam, and he sprinkles blood. Next pasuk, et Chaliot, and all the internal organs, he brings on the Mizbeach, Kasher Tziva Hashem Moshe, just as Hashem commanded. Going to go through every single detail. Beta basar, beta basar, beta or saraf ba'esh, because the machaneh, and the flesh, and the skin, he burned outside the camp, where they commanded, by Ishkat to the law, and he slaughtered Allah, and then they sprinkle the blood, etc. And offers on the Mizbeach, by Ishkat the Kerev Kraim, and he washes the internal organs off, puts them on the Mizbeach, and then by Kerev HaKarban Am, the people's offering, which is another Allah, and he takes the Ichachasir HaChatat, takes the other Chatat, and he slaughters it, offers it appropriately. He does everything just according to the rules. Emphasize, he's doing everything right. And he brings the flower offering, takes a handful, and offers it the Mizbeach. And he's got a shlamim offering for him and people to eat. He offers that.
So that's like celebration, or what's the shlamim for?
I mean, these were the shlamim of the day of the inauguration. Hashem said, this is what the ceremony is going to be.
But after they do the whole sin offerings and stuff, then they do the shlamim, which is
Then
more
the shlamim, right? And
celebration.
everyone's going to eat that afterwards, or everyone
It's
who's
like a
there.
party, no?
It is a party. It's a barbecue. That's what you want. Shlamim is a barbecue, right? Shlamim is eaten by people. Okay. And he waves everything appropriately. Okay, that's he offers all these offerings there, and then the next pasuk we have a bracha. And then he's offered everything. Everything's on the mizbeach. Blood's been sprinkled. Animals are slaughtered. And Aaron lifts his hands on the people and blesses them. And then he goes down from doing the chatat and the olah and shlamim and all of those. I'm not going to say, we're going to try to figure out exactly what's going on here. It's just to read the words. And then Moshe and Aaron go into the Ol Moed, and they go out, which is a very strange thing to do. And they bless the people. Okay, so we got another bracha here. And that's when the glory of God appears. And what was that? The fire comes out of the Mishkan of the Kodesh, and then it goes onto the Mizbeach, and it consumes the Olat HaChalavim, and it consumes everything that's on the top of the Mizbeach. Miraculous fire. That's Kvod Hashem. And the people see it, Vayironu, and they call out, Vayiplu up in a hem, they fall on their faces. They are very impressed. That's wonderful. Everything works. So it starts this last part. After he assembles the korbanot, he lifts his hands up and blesses them, which is not our bracha of Noam. That's what we call nesiyat kapayim, birkat kohanim. Right, lifts the hand, they do the little live long and prosper finger thing. Okay, Rashi says vayirachem, this time birkat kohanim. This v'yirachecha ye'er yisa. We know that bracha. And then after that, it says, "Vayered." Aaron goes down from Asoda Chatat Balashlamim. So he's blessed the people. He's on top of the Mizbeah, which is 10 amos, good 15 feet high. It's a whole platform there. He blesses them. Then he goes down from the Mizbeah, goes down, comes down the ramp, and then Moshe and Aaron go into the Ohel Moed and come out. That's all we have. What are they doing there? What do they do? We'll have to see. And
But
then,
it's the incense now.
so that's one of Rashi's answers. Doesn't say anything. All it says they go in and out. We'll have to see how we read that.
Okay.
After that, by Bokota Am, that's our bracha, Binom, that may God find favor in what you did, and then the miraculous fire comes out and people see the glory of God. Great. So Rashi feels necessary to tell us that when Aaron descended, he descended from the Mizbeach. Okay, it's by Yered, Me'al Mizbeach. Unfortunately, Rashi, I have to ask, why? Why do you tell us that? Obviously, that's where he was. He was doing all these karbanot. Obviously, he's coming down from Mizbeach. So the Sifrei Chachamim says, Me'al Mizbeach, meaning, Shlo She'erah Mimakam Nesiyat Kapayim. Right? We call Birkat Kohanim, we call it Duchanin. Right? Before that term, a duchan is just a platform. So they had a platform in the Mishkan and Mizbeach, and the Mikdash rather, for doing Birkat Kohanim. They didn't normally do it from on top of the Mizbeach. This time it was actually from on top of the Mizbeach. And why do we want to emphasize that he was on the Mizbeach, not somewhere else? So the Emek Dever says about this. Have to imagine this. It says by Yered. Aaron goes down from the top of the altar after he gave the bracha. This is what's going on. Sharon he'ala kol ha'mizbeach. Aaron offered all these karbanot on top of this on top of the altar, but dain lo ba'esh. There's no fire, right? God's going to appear. He's going to God Hashem is going to show that he accepted the offering by having a fire come down from heaven. We know that from Yahu, all that, but nothing happened. Yumunachim, Tiburim, Zealzeh, and the whole there's a whole pile of karbanot sitting on top of the Mizbeach, waiting for the divine fire. And it says, when it says by Akter, it doesn't mean that they it would actually he didn't Aaron didn't burn them. And he says, Kamoshka Tuva Rashbam, they explained, Shasemo Tamozbeach, they put them on there, Uvo Ish Lamala Shalmala Acharkach Nikdan. They would be burned later when the fire comes down. So the fire from the Kodesh Kodeshim doesn't come down two particular later, after Aaron's come down. So you have this image of Aaron. He's on top of the Mizbeach. He set up the sacrifices, right? For this brother and everything, and the people are expecting this. Moshe told the people, look, Aaron's going to do this. We're going to have fire come down from heaven. He turns to the people, he blesses them, and then nothing happens. Right, he's standing there, arms open, waiting for the miraculous fire to come down, and nothing. That's not what's supposed to happen. We know that again. Eliyahu, we have the example from Shlomo, right? Shlomo is Palel, but Esh Yardam and Shemayim. As soon as Shlomo stopped, finished his tefillah, when Shlomo is dedicating the Beit Midrash, the fire comes down from heaven. We have the glory of God, the fire, everything that's supposed to happen. Right, and the Kohanim couldn't even go in there. Because the house is full of glory of God. That's what this fire represents. And all Bnei Yisrael, and they bowed down Arza to the ground. They started singing their Tehillim, just like what happens here. When the fire finally comes down in our story, you know, Bayar Kol Ha'am, Bayironu, they cry out, they fall down. But doesn't come down when Aaron blesses the people. So that by Yered Me'asota Chata, when he's coming down, that's Aaron's failure. He comes down and nothing's happened. He's expecting the fire to come down. This is the return of the Kvod Hashem. They had last seen that at Mamre Sinai. It was lost Maaseh Egel, and nothing happens. I think it's drama there. He's on top of there, calling down the fire from heaven, and nothing. And by Yerid Menham is back means he's coming down and he's failed. So we know what Aaron's sons did. When the fire failed to come, what did they do?
You brought a strange fire.
Exactly. Right? Right? They brought their own fire with the Torah there. They brought the strange fire that happened. But Tetzeh Esh Melotnei Hashem, and Rashi points out, that's the same fire, that afterwards, after it actually works out, the fire comes out, but Toch Lotam destroys them. Just like back in Shlomo, like the Kohanim couldn't go in and cause this Kvod Hashem, they couldn't go in and cause the Kvod Hashem, but they went in anyway, and they were lost.
Where was Moshe with all this going on?
Right, that's the good question. Well, what happens to Moshe? So Aaron trudges down the ramp, no divine fire. Right, his sons are muttering about him, like obviously he's failed, we gotta do something about it. So the next pasuk is Moshe Aaron El Moed. Moshe and Aaron go into the El Moed. That's where Moshe is. He's taking his brother into the El Moed. Rashi says, "Litbalel Sheteret Esh." They're going to go and daven. There's no fire. We got to daven for that. That's why Moshe brings Aaron to the Mishkan to pray for him. And Rashi on this actually brings two different explanations. Moshe, what are Moshe and Aaron doing inside the Mishkan? Why'd they go in? Right? All the pasuk says is they went out, and then they blessed the people, and the fire comes. So he said, I saw a manuscript of basically an appendix to this the Sifra to Torah Kohanim. So another bright that said, Laman Nichnas Moshe and Aaron, what they go into the Mishkan for? Lamdo al Masa HaKetoret. Want to teach him about the Ketoret. I think you suggested that. So what
Yeah.
does Ketoret have to do with any of this? Why Ketoret? Why now? They've been doing it for a week now. He's supposed to know what he's doing. We'll have to see. But Dabar Acher, Rashi's second answer is like Rashbam's. Kevin Shira Aaron, Shekirbo Kol HaKarbono. Once Aaron saw that they had offered all these karbanot, v'nasu kol ma'asim, and he did everything right. The Torah goes into great deal detail, tell us they did everything right. Lo yarda shechina Yisrael, and no glory of God. Hayim mitzta'er v'omer. He was miserable, and he said, Yadoni shekazak HaKadosh Baruch Hu alai. This is all my fault. I know God's still angry with me. Right, I was it, right. This is supposed to be the kapara for the Egel HaZahav, trying to restore everything to where it was, and I'm the one who brought the Egel HaZahav. God's angry at me. I can't be this kohen. It's my fault that the Shekhinah is not here. Amar lo Moshe. So he tells Moshe, he's come down from the ramp. Moshe, my brother, kachasita li. Look what you did to me. Shech nasni vitbayishti. You made me go up. Brought me here, and now I'm humiliated. Now I'm embarrassed before everybody. Nothing. Miyad nichnas Moshe imo. So that's when Moshe went in with him, with bikshu rachamim, and prayed for Aaron. They prayed together. Yad Hashchina Yisrael. That's when they came out. So again, well, to look what the Ketoret has to do with it. But the second explanation that he sort of felt he failed, and that's when they went in. They need to daven for Aaron. Because Aaron knows that this is his fault, right? That the Egel Zahav, it says, "By Gof Hashem at Am Hashem punished the people for the Egel Zahav." This is back in Parshat Kitizah. Asher to Egel, because the people had made this golden calf. Asher Asa Aaron, that really was Aaron's. So Aaron didn't want to have anything to do with this avodah. He knew he would fail. Pasuk starts, we quoted this, that Moshe Aaron, right? Moshe tell Aaron, you got to get here. You got to go up there. See, Aaron bushfully Yarei. Aaron was ashamed, didn't want, and was afraid to go anywhere near the Mizbeach. Moshe says, Lamata bush, why you ashamed? You are chosen for this. You can do this. So now I'm going to go back to this field of Moshe. So if the land of it, Vinom, is the bracha to the people after they come out of the Mishkan, I would assume that the first part, the rest of it, is Moshe's prayer for and davening with his brother when they're davening for Aaron's sake. Nichnas Moshe mo bikshu rachamim together. Because the message of this first part of the parak of Tefillah Moshe Shalkim is the idea that God's infinite. El shinim be'enecha kimatmol, 1,000 years in your eyes are like just one day that passes, and we're finite and limited. Yimei shanah, shivim shana, we live 70, maybe 80 years. We're nothing in God's eyes. And I was previously just reading that without thinking about the story. Would read it that okay, that we should be humble. Human beings should be humble because we're finite and moral and obey infinite God. But that's not what it is. It's a prayer to Hashem that God should recognize that we're our frailty and forgive us, even if we sin, because we're only human. That's what this is about. So that's where it starts. Here's the parrot. Miladu, that before the mountains were created, but Eretz Betevel, before the earth was born, the earth that inhabited earth was born, Me'alam v'ad olam, from the infinite past to eternity, Atakel, you are the divine power. You have the might. Teshev enosh adaka, and you bring human beings down to dust. Right, turn this man back to dust. Turn him back. Right, human beings are mortal. But Tomer shuv bnei adam. But you tell them all the time, shuvu. You need to do shuvah. Good message for this time of year, as hello. You need to shuvu ki elof shanim beinecha. I read ki as even though 1,000 years in your eyes, ki yom etmol ki avor, like a day that it's already passed. Bashmur b'layla, like one will watch the nights. You're infinitely powerful, and you want us to do better, but we can't because lives are too short. From Tam Shena, you pour sleep over and we sleep, Boker Chatzir Yachalof, and we rise up in the morning like the grass, Boker Yatzitz Pachalof, we bloom in the morning of the Erev Yimalel B'Shev, but by evening we're withered and dry. Like you're one day. Or your 1,000 years, 1,000 years is like one day for us. One day is a whole lifetime. Comes, goes. Right? Ki chilino ba'apecha, because we were punished, we were destroyed in your anger. Chamalchan yafalu, we're in terror for you, from your rage, from your fury. Shata avneinu legdecha, our sins are all placed before you. We're imperfect. Olameinu lema'ar panecha, that which is hidden from us. You know, our sins, we didn't, things that we don't even know that we did wrong. They're fully enlightened before, fully in the light before you. You know everything. Kichol yameinu panu be'aratecha, because our days are passed in your anger. Kalina shenina kumohege, and our years are over like a thought. Which is a pretty depressing way to start.
Yeah.
But that we say is that our lives are too fleeting. We don't know what you really want. So we need you to help us. We live for 70 years. And if we're particularly strong, we can last for 80. And Moshe at this point is 80 years old. Aaron is 83. Yeah. So that's a okay. Now we don't have much time left. Rahabam Amal Va'aven, and never transfer. Rahabam. Rabbam, their pride is trouble and of and wretchedness. That. Right, we're very proud of ourselves, but it's really nothing, just a lot of work and a lot of trouble. He goes chish, because it's cut off quickly by the ufa and flies away. There goes everything we've accomplished. Mio deez apecha, we don't understand the strength of your anger. Biratkecha, evratecha, we're in awe of your anger. Yaminu, that's the prayer. Teach us to count our days. Not just to count, but make them count. What are we supposed to do by the time we have it? And then we're going to achieve wisdom.
That's what Shlomo asked for.
That what?
That's what Shlomo asked for.
Oh, the wisdom, right. Right. Here we're saying it's like, you know. I don't know what to do with my. I've got limited time here. Help me set my priorities straight. That's what we're davening. That's what Moshe's davening for. So therefore, the tefillah in to Hashem is come back from our anger. Right? You said shuvah b'nei. We need to shuvah. We're trying, but we don't know how. We don't have time to do enough shuvah because we've done so much wrong here. You need to help us learn how to do shuvah, and then shuvah Hashem. You Hashem, come back to us. You can do that. Amatai, how long is this going to go on? Hinachem al adecha, change your mind about your servants. Sabeinu v'bocha chastecha, satisfy us in the morning, in the beginning of our lives with your mercy. Even around us, and then we can, for our entire lives, we'll be happy. It's all up to you, God. Samchinu k'miyot, give us joy equivalent to the days that we have been miserable. Give us the opportunity to be joyful. It's equivalent to the years that we've experienced the bad. Now Hashem, allow us to good. Right, Shuvah Hashem, bring us back. We are trying to do Tshuva, but we don't know how. Help us there. You need to come us, right? That's the Alexander Pope says, to err is human, to forgive divine. That's the message here. Hashem, forgive us. And that fit the context of what we're looking here. Okay? That this is Moshe basically turning to Aaron and turning to Hashem and saying, okay, you need to forgive Aaron for the sin of the Egel and bring the Shekhinah down. You promised this to us, Hashem. We need this. And then they go out. And then they continue with the Yirah Avodecha Palecha, that please show your work to your people. And Vayirah Kvod Hashem, and then it happens. So they come back out of the Mishkan, and then they give the brach to the people, and the fire comes down. So this tefillah works. The question then is, why is it necessary? Hashem had already forgiven Bnei Yisrael of the Chet HaEgel. That's why the Mishkan was there in the first place. Hashem wasn't angry at Aaron, right? In Pasuk in Shema. Right, Moshe is negotiating with Hashem after Chet HaEgel. God, if I have found favor in your eyes, Hashem, come walk among. Return your Shekhinah to us. Let us feel your presence. Even though they are stiff-necked people, you'll forgive our sins, and we'll be your inheritance again, and you'll lead us. Hashem says, okay, fine. Here is our renegotiated contract. I will do these miracles before you, all of you. This is the on Rosh Chodesh Elul. So when this conversation is happening, before the Mishkan's built, I'll do wonders. These are wonders that have never been created in the whole, in all of the earth, in other nations. And all this whole nation that you are leading will see Masa Hashem, Kinurahu. You'll see the awesome works of God. Asher Nisi Neosema. Hashem already promised he's going to do this. So, what was this here? Why does Aaron fail? Why does Moshe need to bring Aaron to Davin?
Was this about the death of Aaron's son?
No, Aaron's sons die shortly. In other words, when the fire doesn't go down, they bring the Esh Zara, and that's when they die. They haven't died yet.
They haven't died yet. Okay.
Okay.
This is
happening simultaneously.
Ah, okay.
So my thought on this is that the Tefillah Moshe is addressed to Hashem. It's intended to Aaron. Because it's Aaron who said, I can't do this. Aaron said, before he gets there, I don't want to do this. I don't want to go near the Mizbeach. It reminded me to the Egel Zahav. God's never forgiven me. And the truth is Hashem had forgiven him, but he never forgiven himself. He expected to fail even before he starts. Right? He starts out with that Rashi says, Aaron Bush Yorel Geshet. He was too embarrassed to even get close. And this was a nice talk. And that's kind of a lesson for Tshuva in general, that an important part of tshuva is we have to be able to forgive ourselves, allow ourselves to be forgiven. Can't be blamed yourself. There's an article by Tamar Tabak. You know who she is?
No, but
she's a St. Louisan. Dr. Bortz? Dr. Bortz, endocrinologist.
I don't know, but
Julianne's cousin.
Yeah.
It's his daughter.
Oh, nice.
She's an author. Now, this is from Eish HaTorah's spiritual guide to Tshuva, right? Most important part of Tshuva is to trust in God's forgiveness and move on with joy. Then we can forgive ourselves and repair the broken tapestry of our souls. Very poetic there, but we have to forgive ourselves. So this is a lesson for Aaron. Even though Hashem had said, fine, Hinei Alechi Kreit Brit, and I'll do these Maaseh Nevuah, this couldn't happen until Aaron could forgive himself. Moshe goes in to daven with Aaron so Aaron can say, yes, even though I'm mortal, Hashem, Shuvah Hashem Amatai, Hashem would come back to us. Once he accepted this, the fact that Hashem had forgiven him, Aaron go back, bless the people with Ahava, he's supposed to do, right? The bracha has to be Rech the Moishrael Ba'ahava, and then the fire would come down, and he would be successful. Which is a nice way of looking at this parak here. And then going back to Rashi's first explanation, that Moshe brought Aaron's Mishkan and teaching the Masa Ketoret, talking about the Ketoret. I think that's the same idea. Masa Ketoret isn't the Avodah Ketoret, not teaching him how to offer the incense, you know, with the burn and all that. That came before in the previous week. Talking about Masa Ketoret, how to make Ketoret, because there's a lesson in how the Ketoret's made. Green's Ketoret teaches us that we don't have to be perfect to Hashem. You do not need to be perfect for Hashem to accept our prayers. You know the idea of the Ketoret has all these different spices in it, including the Chelbana, which Rashi tells us it's a bosom, it's a spice, a recho ra. It actually smells bad. The kernel of Galbana. Munakatu ben samanea Ketoret. And this was an important part of the ingredients of the Ketoret. Amdenu teach us, shalo yakel beinenu l'tzarif imenu b'agadot tanitenu tefilatenu, that we shouldn't spurn. When we're gathering together to pray, to fast, we shouldn't reject Poshe Yisrael, the sinners. She nimni mimana, that they should be part of the community. Because no one's perfect. You can't reject anyone. Everyone's got the potential to come back. So that's still that's the message of Tefillah Moshe, is that is the Masa Ketoret, that we're all part of this, we're all in this together. We need to accept ourselves with our human imperfection. That Hashem will grant mechila if we do tshuva. That's part of our avodah Hashem, is being human. And that's probably what we emphasize. This is Ish Elokim, right? He's kind of this intermediary. He's got the perspective to see this, looking from the outside, so we can reassure Aaron. That's the first part of the perek, and then it continues with when they go out by Yitzu by Berachu at the Am. They go out, they bless the people, and they tell the people Hashem is going to accept our Mishkan. The Shekhinah is going to come. But for that, I think we should continue on next week, because it'll also go on forever. So thank you for joining me.
Thank you, Danny.